Wrong thing.
I will say this.
What's that?
Their studio does look cool as hell.
Yeah, what's up with them having all these cool wood boards around in their studio?
I don't know. That is hands down better than ours.
We got to do something like that. They even got Blake Shelton quotes on there. Yeah, the boys around here drinking that ice cold beer. Blake Shelton. I like that. We could have like, I want to blank you like an animal. Trent Reznor. Yeah.
Blank you. It just says blank.
Wouldn't it be great if it actually did have the F word? Like, I want to F you like an animal.
Welcome to KSW.
We're here to rock, rock, rock.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve Mix. You are now entering
the MegaCast. We're going to blank you like an animal, Ted. Blank, 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 animal. Animals.
It's good to see you, my man.
Yeah.
Here we are doing another MegaCast.
I know. What's this, 2 weeks in a row in the summer? Look at us.
I know. Next week, of course, we could have talked about this when the mics were off, but I was like, do we want to try and shoot for a Monday and get Taryn in the mix?
Yes, but I can't be here till like 11:15.
Dude, it's currently 11:45 when we're starting this podcast.
Solid call.
Yeah, I think we're going to be okay if you can't be here till 11:15.
All right.
I like how you're like, I can only be here at 11:15. I don't even think you were here. You showed up today at like 11:25.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I don't know. It's Monday. You want to get out of here. Plus, me and Taryn screwed you on the last one, so I'm very nervous about saying yes, Steve.
Let's give it a shot. We'll reach out to Taryn. It'd be fun to have her be a part of the MegaCast.
I'll put together a thread on Twitter, on the text.
All right. And we'll see what happens. See if I was going to hit her up for this week, but I noticed that she was on vacation or had Monday off. She had Monday off, so I was like, I'm not going to put any kind of weird, like, hey, you should come down. Of course, she would say no, because it's quite a hike to get here to Seattle.
And she was in Oregon.
That would make it a little difficult.
Yeah. Like, I knew she went to Oregon, but even Tuesday, she was like, hey, I'm headed back. And I was like, wait a minute. You didn't come home yesterday? She's like, no, I was down with Jed paddleboard. I was like, oh, all right.
Nice.
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff to do on this week's MegaCast. I mean, I've got a ton of things. I've written down on notes.
Dope shirt, by the way.
Oh, thank you, man.
Yeah.
Showing love for the podcast that we talked about last week, Spitting Chicklets. Barstool Sports.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, baby.
You know what? I followed a bunch of their stuff. They have some funny shows.
Dude, who's
Pat
on
McAfee
there?
Pat McAfee has a good one.
I kind of kick myself. Pat McAfee, when I went to WrestleMania Radio Row, because he's a big wrestling fan. In fact, he's done some independent wrestling. So him and I, you know, we're simpatico. he was two tables down from my table for Radio Row doing interviews.
All right.
For Barstool Sports, for his Pat McAfee show. And I didn't want to bug him, but I kind of wanted to bug him just to be like, hey, come on my podcast, or at least just come say hi. You know, I wanted to get a picture with the guy. I think that guy's hilarious.
Yeah, man, and he's great. Like, during the football season, too, his tweets are awesome.
Dude, they're using him from time to time on the WWE Network for, like, the pre-shows for their pay-per-views.
No kidding.
He's a little over the top.
He is.
He's
but that's Barstool.
Yeah. I think, though, for a pre-show, he's got to maybe tone it down. Just, like, go from 11 to maybe 8.5.
All right.
And that's just me. I mean, who am I to tell him what to do? He's on freaking the pre-show. I'm not. So clearly he's doing something right. I'm acting like as if I should be. And like, Pat, let me tell you what you should do, even though I haven't done it.
You know what? You got to get drunk before you launch into that conversation. That's what people really like it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, dude, I think you and I could probably write a book on awkward conversations from drunk people that are telling us how to do our job.
Yeah, and I don't care what the job is. Nobody wants career advice from drunk guy.
No.
Now, if you're with your buddy and he brings up work and asks you your opinion, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But unsolicited advice guy?
Dude, I had that guy happen. I wrestled on Saturday with CPW, Combat Pro Wrestling.
All right.
And it was my big debut with CPW, my big singles debut, which very little fanfare because I didn't find out until earlier in the day that I was going to do it. We talked a whole bunch about it on the MigsCast if people want to listen to the whole process that led up to it. But a guy came up to me after the match, and he's like, "Oh, it was pretty good for your debut match." And it's always funny when people say that. It's like, just say it was a good match. Like, I always love when people are like, it's almost like a backhanded compliment. Like, that was great for your first match. So that would have sucked if it was my fifth. You know what I mean? But I'm
or
not.
Say it in a complimentary way.
Right.
Like, I've done it with fighters at Cage for it. Like, and that was your first fight?
Right.
Damn.
Like, that was pretty badass.
Yeah.
Well, so then he goes,
I would say that's pretty good for your first fight. Damn, that is.
I mean, that was okay. If you were like 6-7 matches in, that would suck.
Yeah.
So then he's like, that was pretty good. And then just unsolicited gives me tips on what I could have done better.
All right.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, why did I have to be a part of it? But then here's the funny part. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to listen because, you know, the guy is a guy that wrestles, but not like on
all right,
any,
all right.
Like, he's relatively new in the world of wrestling, and I've seen some of his stuff, and he's not bad. He's pretty good for his, like, you know, maybe 10th match. So he starts telling me some stuff, and at first I'm like, you know, man, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm on a high, and you're going to tell me what I did wrong? And as he's telling me, and I'm just like, oh my God, that is some great advice. So it was just like this weird, like,
oh, really?
Dilemma of how dare you give me unsolicited advice, but your advice is fantastic. So then as he's telling me, and I'm just like, I finally was just like, you know, man, I gotta be honest with you. Like, at first I didn't want to hear what you were gonna say, but what you're saying is incredible. And he just starts smiling. He's like, yeah, and it turns out he trained under like a really good like school. So it was kind of cool to hear it. And what he said was like, it was really good advice. Huh. To the point where, like, when I saw another wrestler, I'm like, yeah, this guy gave me unsolicited advice. And it was another wrestler. He's like, oh, I hate when people do that. And then I told him the advice. He's like, well, I never thought about that either. That's actually really good advice. So it was kind of funny. Right, it's like one right. of those, it's maybe a Steve talk, a mini Steve talk right there.
Yeah.
Even though you don't want the advice, be willing to listen to it with open ears.
Always be open.
Always be open. That's mm-hmm. what we tell our ladies, right?
Oh, man, I was just thinking of
hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
Open for business. I call right. a 7-Eleven. You know what I'm saying?
All right, let's get our 10. Because I do want to hear what your TED Talk is. This is our opportunity to get our blood racing, our heart pumping, and our brain
functioning.
Boy, I didn't realize how badly I needed it until I tried to lead into it.
That's all right. Tomorrow morning, listen to the opening of the podcast where I repeat myself over and over in the opening because I screwed it up.
Really?
227th time, and I rolled, like, effed it up royally.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Some more techno, Ted.
That.
Uh-oh. We're jumping right into it.
Yeah, we are.
Let's get 10 mega family.
Oh.
Steve, nobody is going to know that we got these from the library.
But I realize all these songs are like 2 minutes long. I have to hit repeat on a lot of them.
Oh. The bubble one. The bubble one.
Yeah. Here we go. Dance party in here.
That's gonna do Drake.
What's that new Kendrick? Drake. Oh, I'll hit pause for a second.
What, the In My Feelings, the Shiggy challenge?
Yeah, that new dance challenge that people are jumping out of moving cars.
I know. Me and Tanch were trying to learn it last week.
So what is it? It's like you do the heart thing.
Yeah. Have you heard the song?
Yeah.
All
and
right.
then you do like the car steering thing. It's almost
right,
like a reverse
like
whipping nene.
Right. And then they're riding with you. And then you got to give them like a solid no with like a wingle or a finger wave.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah. And then you're just pushing it to the side.
Let me see what I can find it. Because I came across it. Let's see.
How I found it was like a week and a half ago. Somebody just retweeted a little person doing it. And she was really good at it. And like kind of hot. And the caption just said, why she F it up so good, though?
See, I saw the one with Will Smith.
Where right, he's, like, so he was on it early, like
okay.
last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an In My Feelings challenge, and so people are jumping out of moving cars.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it started with people jumping out of cars. I don't know why people aren't putting them in park.
Yes!
Yeah.
So here's audio of somebody that it's on either Instagram or Twitter of somebody doing it.
Hey.
Got me in my-
Get a boy. Yeah. Hey, oh, hey, come on, man. Get up. Hey. Hey, get the door. Hey, come on. No, we got to go fast, dude. Hey, slow down. Come on, bro. Hey.
Woo. I like it. And it's a much easier dance. You can make it more complicated if you like want to bounce real low. Yeah. Or you can just kind of stay on your feet.
Yeah, you can make it complicated when you're trying doing it out of a movie. Like, do yourself a favor and go online.
I mean, BuzzFeed already has them like in a whole section.
Oh, good. Because the ones with the girls, I saw a few different girls trying to do it. And they're not moving the car very fast, but they don't factor in that. You can't just start walking as you move out of the car and think that you're going to be able to keep pace with a car.
Yeah, it's like having the treadmill on like four.
Right.
And like
just stepping on it.
Right. Like you got to kind of almost like lift yourself onto it and kind of already be moving your feet. If you just put a foot on, you're just going to go.
And let go of the handles.
Yeah.
And that's basically what they're doing. They're just face planting.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking that even somebody posted this. Like we live in a world now where people are eating Tide Pods and people are moving out of perfectly good cars to do a dance craze.
I mean, I like the dance.
The dance is good.
Not gonna lie.
Yeah, but I mean, are we gonna do it out of a moving car?
Nah, we'll do it at Meltdown. We'll do it on top of my goddamn RV.
Yes.
Right? That'll be our challenge.
In.
I will have to figure out a way to nicely say, like, so what's the weight capacity on the roof?
Can it hold about 400 and something pounds?
Right?
Yeah. Two grown men who might be moving a little bit. Not a lot. Steve doesn't really have good footwork. So you got one guy that's not going to do a lot of footwork, but he'll do some kind of crazy jazz hands thing.
Just let's be honest. Can it hold 4.5?
Yeah, that's all we need.
TED Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
To quote the great American poet, I forgot his damn name. Detroit. Damn it, Steve, hang
Eminem?
On. No, the other dude. Black dude.
From Detroit.
All right, start it over.
Cecil Fielder.
Start it over. I got it.
All right, hold on. Let me get this going. All right,
yeah.
Right, ready?
Sorry about that.
Here we go. That's okay.
TED Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
To quote the great American poet, Big Sean, sometimes you need to bounce back. That's what today's TED Talk is about.
Okay.
Maybe you took an L. Bounce back. You know, maybe something bad happened over the weekend. You got to bounce back. And even just, you know, it could be like, you know, maybe you're focused on food right now, right?
I am right now. Actually, I'm very hungry.
Right. So maybe you had a terrible meal. You ate four pieces of pizza and slammed a bunch of beers. Well, next morning, bounce back.
Yeah.
Get right back onto the regular breakfast routine. You're doing whatever. You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe you just had a bad day. You know, maybe it was hot. You couldn't sleep at all Sunday night. So Monday, you were just kind of an S-head to people.
Mm.
Not saying I was.
Not you.
Right?
Never.
Right? Just bounce back.
Ted, you got air conditioning. There's no excuse for you to be that way.
Oh, it doesn't fit in my window, Steve.
What?
Yes.
How so?
Because you need like a slider, but like the weight. I'll show it to you off the air.
But don't you have the slider piece?
I have the slider piece, but there's like a bar in the middle, so it doesn't fit all the way in. I'm going to have to jerry-rig it by the end of the summer.
Okay, do we need to bring out some tools?
We'll figure it out.
Okay, I'm more than happy to bring out, like, you know, I got a drill.
Yeah, but anyhow.
And a mallet.
So that's what I'm saying. It's just bounce back. We're all going to take L's. Just try to get, as quickly as you can, get back on.
Yeah, maybe.
Even if you're just depressed. Like, just remember the next day, like, you're still you, man. Come on. You know, not come on. It's tough, but.
No, maybe you were going to Macy's to get a pair of shorts on the way back to your car. You might have seen an Annie Ann's and bought, you know, one of those mini pretzel nuggets things.
I have not had those. Those sound delicious.
Bounce back. They are great.
Did you get dipping sauce?
See, I'm not a dipping sauce kind of guy when it comes to pretzels.
Ooh, all right.
I like my soft pretzels just the way they are. Especially Annie Ann's. They got that nice butteriness to them.
Yeah, I mean, they're good enough on their own, but I won't lie. I'm a fan of the beer cheese sauce.
I know, it's good. I even like putting some mustard on a pretzel.
Mustard, yeah.
On a soft pretzel. But at the end of the day, I'm completely fine with nothing on a pretzel.
Yeah. Well, that's just as long as I've known you. We've been team soft pretzel.
Yeah, oh, forever.
Remember, I don't know why. Oh, that was before I had that fight years ago. Steve and I went to a preseason Seahawks game, and we did not have a drop of alcohol in it. But I remember we were drinking like Diet Cokes, and we ate pretzels. And we were like, look at us.
I think we had two pretzels each.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were fantastic.
And then we went to Georgetown to watch... Wow. Watch a band.
What band? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to remember who we saw. That's right.
It was just weird. Both of us, like, absolutely stone sober. Like, what's with you guys? Nothing. We're just eating pretzels.
All right. Speaking of food, I forgot to mention, thanks to our sponsor, Smith Family Popcorn. Good people.
Great popcorn.
That's right.
It is. Right there in downtown Hyannis.
Which is where words in relation to Tukwila.
I'd say probably a little over 3,000 miles east.
Where can people find his popcorn again?
Cape Cod, Hyannis, or you can just Google Smith Valley Popcorn. You can order some online too.
That's what's open. My bad. Website.
Yeah, you're right. Nobody's going to Cape Cod if you live in the Seattle area. That's a long trek.
You never
trek.
Know. There might be a guy right now at SeaTac specifically going to Hyannis, wherever that is.
Hyannis?
That too.
God, do you know nothing about the Kennedys?
I know nothing about the Kennedys.
It's disappointing.
Sorry. I know that he was good in that one movie.
I will tell you this. The Smith Family Popcorn, he was good in that one movie. Airplane?
What's that movie that Jamie Kennedy was in?
Oh, the one where he's the white dude that thinks he's a rapper. I really like that movie too.
What is the name
of that damn movie?
Somebody's about to tweet us, so let me get on the social networks to figure that out before somebody does.
Steve, and I don't think Meltdown's the time, but I gotta order a bucket of that popcorn for me and you just to watch sports one day, because it is so good.
I would totally be down for that.
The problem is, once you hunker down on it, you're locked in.
All right, let's see. White
it's not rubber. Don't Be a Menace.
No. Not, Malibu's Most Wanted.
Malibu's Most Wanted.
Great movie.
Yeah, and Snoop Dogg's the little mouse.
Taye Diggs is in it. It's 2003.
Nice. Yeah.
Why don't we take a break?
Yeah. Sorry, we got way off track there. Bounce back, Steve.
Bounce back, everybody. Bounce back. When we come back up, I've still got that Should I Be Mad that involves something in the world of wrestling.
All right.
Also, something very awkward happened with me and... It's going to sound terrible. And an underage girl.
Oh, that does sound terrible, yet intriguing.
When the Mega Cast, not nearly what people are thinking, don't worry. When the Mega Cast returns.
Oh, yeah.
Ted and Steve need a minute to hug it out. The Mega Cast will return.
Tonight, Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin star in Fox's new buddy comedy, KGBFFs.
He is a deplorable and he's a communist. That's why they are KGBFFs.
Hi, would you like something to drink?
Donald, would you like a white Russian?
I hope I do.
Not a white Russian. This white Russian.
Don't be stupid.
We're ready to make America giggle again with Fox's new comedy, KGBFFs.
There was meddling in our election, but that has been forgiven. They're not only presidents, they are best of friends. He has tiny hands and he rules with an iron fist. That's why they are KGBFFs.
That's why they are KGBFFs.
That's why they are KGBFFs.
This is my best friend.
One of them likes to slam beers, while the other likes to slam sweaty men in the wrestling ring. The Mega Cast is back.
I'm telling you, man. The production library is making some bangers, Ted.
I know, dude.
This is good stuff.
Yeah, people are going to be like, man, I love that. The party's great, and every 2 minutes, it's a new song.
Right. It's like the most ADD techno set.
Yeah.
I should figure out a way to, like, have it online, like, have a laptop or something. I guess I could probably pull it up on my phone, that mix, like, those songs.
Oh, so, yeah.
Or maybe I just make a crazy mix from all of them. And I'm never going to do any of this.
I love it. Yeah. Every time we do this podcast, we get 1,000 new ideas.
I know.
You bought those glasses.
That's about as good as it's going to get.
Yeah, I mean, there's a theme. I haven't even thought about a costume. Have you?
No. What was the theme again? It's like...
Strange things?
Strange beings?
Christ. I have not thought about that till right now.
Yeah.
I might just go online to Amazon and buy the two cheapest, like, alien, like, green alien heads I can.
Cone heads.
Ooh,
we are both bald.
That's a good call.
We could be coneheads, and we'll say, and anyone who talks to us, we're like,
we're from France.
Oui.
Half that crowd is not going to get that joke.
No. 85% of that crowd is not going to get that joke.
Like, What do you mean you're from France? Like, have you guys seen the Coneheads? Like, I'm 22, dude.
Dude, that happened to me. This is going to make you feel old. So, like, I long story short, somehow in a crazy circumstance of events, I talked about in detail in the Make Sketch, I got to have a tryout match in front of one of the main guys for WWE's NXT.
What was this?
Dude, I'll tell you, it's a quick story. So Gabe Sapolsky is a guy that was part of Ring of Honor. He's part of Evolve, which is a big wrestling promotion. A lot of people call that the feeder promotion that leads to a lot of guys going to the WWE. He's also Triple H's right-hand man during NXT taping. So he sits right next to Triple H in gorilla position. They're like the two brainchilds. Like, they really help these wrestlers become the wrestlers that they do become in NXT.
Tell me gorilla position again.
Gorilla position is basically the back room before someone walks out the curtain. Usually Vince McMahon's on a headset. Someone else is on a headset. And they're the ones that are giving the guys direction on what they need to do. They stay in contact with the referee. They also talk to the announcers. It's named after Gorilla Monsoon, who used to be a big-time guy back in the day, an announcer. And also he had a lot of stuff to do behind the scenes. So they call that little backstage area the gorilla position. Sounds kind of kinky, but it's really not.
Yeah.
So,
like, I've done that.
So Gabe is a big deal, and he came to town to see a band called Neurosis. He's a huge fan of Neurosis. So what he does when he goes see this band, he sets up a seminar and, you know, charges X amount of dollars a head, and it covers his cost to go see this band. It's pure brilliance.
All right.
So he's in town, has a big seminar on a Friday afternoon, and it's like $75 a pop. And I'm like, you know what? It's a seminar / tryout. I'm not trying out. Like, that's just ridiculous. I'm 43. I have 1 year of experience. Last I checked, the WWE is not looking for that. I could be wrong, but I don't believe they're looking for that. But I hit him up. I'm like, hey, man, I know it's sold out, but I'd love to come. I'm willing to pay the money just to sit like as a fly on the wall, take notes, and learn, because he's a creative consultant. The guy is a creative genius. And I figured, and honestly, dude, a lot of that stuff could apply to radio. It's all entertainment-based.
Right.
And so I go. Well, by a great circumstance of events, everyone who signed up to try out for him, there's X amount of people, and three of them turned out to be referees. So the fact that it was an odd number of referees, because referees could try out.
All right.
You know, because, I mean, there's people that want to just do the reffing thing. So now, all of a sudden, there's an odd number of wrestlers, though, because there's an odd number of referees. And what he wanted everyone to do is you pair off, you make a five-minute match, and you perform in front of them. So, that way, it's not him watching 25 individual matches, or however many, it's him watching 12.
Right.
So one of the guys hit me up. He's like, hey, man, do you have a partner, a guy that I knew? I'm like, I'm not supposed to be wrestling. I'm only here just to watch. I'm like, but if you can't, he couldn't have anyone, because otherwise everyone was taken. He'd have to have someone double up. And a lot of people didn't want to do that because they have to focus on planning this one match.
Yeah, and they're going to be a little gassed.
Right. And they want this one tryout. So I'm like, let me check with Gabe. So Gabe's going outside for, I think, a smoke or something like that. I'm like, hey, man, I'm the guy that said, can I just come and watch? Is it cool if I jump in the ring with one of the guys because there's an odd number of wrestlers? And he's like, yeah, sure.
Why do you have your gear on you?
Wrestler always has his gear, Ted.
All right, all right. Excuse me, Migs. Excuse me.
My gear is in my car at all times.
All right.
Right now, if we need to have a match, Ted, I can go to my car and get my gear.
Because if I had him, like, how about he's just rolling around with his gear?
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Always. A wrestler
always.
Are
you wearing it underneath?
Yes, I have my tights on underneath these jeans, Ted. So I go to my car, I get my stuff, get it all on, and I'm like, what world am I in? Fast forward X amount of minutes, I'm having a tryout in front of one of the main guys for NXT.
How'd it go?
I haven't heard back. What he did is he took all these notes. He goes, hey, man, give me some time, but I will give everybody feedback. Just email me. Of course, myself, the other guy, and a few others, we've all talked, and we haven't heard anything. I'm like, dude, who cares? If I never hear back from him, I get to say that I had a tryout in front of one of the main guys for NXT. Like, he had to watch me wrestle for 4 minutes.
That counts.
And, dude, it was great. Like, my match was basic as F, but he even said, keep it basic. Don't try and impress me with your flips. I've seen it all. I just want to see that you guys know the basics. So myself and my buddy Chase, we had a really fun, basic match where I was the bad guy, and it was great. Like, I beat him up, and at one point I looked at everyone, I'm like, he's here to wrestle. I'm here to teach him how to respect his elders. And bam, hit him. The place just erupted. Like, all the wrestlers were dying. And that was also kind of crazy because I'm wrestling in front of guys that I you know, guys that travel to be here.
I like that. I like you're going to be, like, no offense. It's like, that's the new hot thing in NXT. We got a mid-40s heel. And he's just mean.
He's just mean. And
his insults cut to the core of you.
He just wants them to respect their elders.
That should be your whole thing.
That's right.
But you show no respect to anybody older than you.
And the best part, so to go back to the whole thing of jokes going over the head of young people.
All right.
There's this young tag team called the Varos Twins, and they're over in Vancouver. They're great. Well, they're booing me. So I'm like, dude, I'm having the time of my life. I didn't care about impressing him with my wrestling. Right. I have an opportunity just to ham it up and have fun. And that's what my buddy Chase and I are like. Let's just have fun. Let's not worry about Gabe.
Yeah.
You know, because neither one of us were thinking we're going to stand out in his eyes. So let's enjoy this moment. So the Voros twins are booing me, and they're like these identical twins. They're like German or Austrian guys, right? And they're like, boo! And I'm like, shut up. I never liked the Olsen twins. Like that. And this is the best part. They both look at me and they kind of get that, like, that shrug, like, whatever. And they're like, we don't know who that is. I'm like, oh. We don't even know who that is. I'm like, you bastards.
We don't even know who that is. That is so much worse.
Yes.
Ah.
I was like, you guys win. I should just leave. But man, it was cool. It was like once in a lifetime experience. I would have never thought last year, last month, especially like a younger point in my life, that one day you're going to have a tryout in front of a guy that works for the WWE.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, in baseball, man, like sometimes scouts will go and they'll just host like a day where like basically like it's like an open day. So it's like high school kids, maybe even like eighth grade, but generally it's like groups, right? Like 13 to 15, it's like Babe Ruth baseball. So it's like, all right, you didn't make it to the major leagues, but it's like you still worked out for a scout. You had a tryout.
Right. We got to do warm-ups, like WWE warm-ups, like what they do, how they weed people out. Like we had to do the things that the WWE, like the football players that come to the performance center to learn how to become a wrestler, the stuff that they have to do when they first show up.
No kidding.
Yeah, dude. It was great.
Was there anything you hadn't done?
There was one thing called skinning the cat. Well, we had to do kip-ups or nip-ups, whatever they're called, like where you're, like, you're on your back and you have to like push yourself to jump up on your feet.
Oh.
I didn't succeed in that.
That's a tough one.
I tried, but I did not succeed. No, not that a lot of people did. Some did, of course.
Cameron could do it.
Oh, I'm sure Cameron can. He's a freaking trainer. One day I'm going to get it done, though. That's my goal now, is to be able to do that. But then the other thing was called skinning.
That seems impossible.
It's so hard, man. Another thing was called skinning the cat, which is a wrestling thing. So you go to the ropes, you hold on to the ropes, you lean forward and flip over the ropes while still holding the ropes. So now you're hanging out of the ropes like that. Where, like, you know, you're hanging from the ropes, from the top rope. And now you got to pull yourself back up and flip back in. And I'm like watching everyone do this. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I am not going to be able to do it. At first, he even says, like, look, if it's out of your skill level, don't feel embarrassed. We don't want anyone getting hurt. So I'm like, gosh, there's like 15, 20 people in front of me while this is all going on. I'm like, please, can somebody just say that they can't do it? I don't want to be the first. A couple people actually did. But then as I'm watching, everyone's so supportive. Even if you didn't do it, people are like cheering you on. I'm like, I know I could get out. I don't think I could get back in, but let me give it a shot. So I try it. I crack my lip up against the rope. Now I'm in pain. And I'm like, ah, son of a bitch. And I try, and people are like, let's go. Come on, Steve. I can't do it. I just give up. Everyone cheers. I'm like, you know what? I did it. I tried. Didn't work out.
I like you're in the back going, I hope somebody else says they can't, so I'm not the first. Two guys do, and then you're like, F it. I'll try it.
I'm still going to do it. But even Gabe's like,
those guys suck. They didn't even try.
You know what's cool after he all did it? He goes, you guys are better than me. I won't do this stuff because he's not a wrestler. He's just a guy that always wanted to be a promoter. He's like, he's like, a lot of the guys that come to the performance center, football players, can't do what you guys can't do. And that made me feel pretty good knowing that. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I'm not completely like, I know I'm not in the same shape of a football player, but it's nice to know that, you know.
Well, that stuff too, man, like, it's one thing to be in shape and be strong, but there's different muscles and different groups.
Core is important on those things.
Yeah. Too. Or even take, like, I don't know, you could take a great athlete, whatever, if, you know, but then throw them, have them do, I think I've talked about this before, but have them do 5 minutes of rolling jiu-jitsu.
Right.
They're going to be dying. They're just not, it's just different muscle groups and stuff. So yeah, flipping out of that thing, like, that's a different skill set.
Well, what we do in our training too sometimes is like, what we'll do is like, you'll roll, you'll hit the turnbuckle, in the corner. You'll drop on your butt. You'll grab the ropes. And then you got to pull yourself up and flip over and sit on the turnbuckle. So for the longest time, I couldn't do that, man. And it was driving me nuts. And just recently, I finally have been able to do it. And I've never felt a higher high in wrestling training than being able to finally accomplish. I don't even know if I'll ever be able to apply that in anything. It's just like kind of a good exercise to work on your core.
Yeah.
But man, when I first pulled that off, I felt like the king of the world, man. I'm like, yeah. And then I did it a couple times. I'm like, I got this. This is good. And then one time I did, I couldn't do it. And I'm like, oh man, it just depends on the day. It's just one of those things. I'm never going to be able to do it effortlessly. But I was pretty stoked about that. I mentioned before the break that I had a weird thing go on with an underage. yes.
Yeah.
So it involves wrestling.
All right.
All right. So, you know, we go to wrestling classes, and it's beginner classes that I go to that all a, you know, I mean, I'm not always the oldest, but more often than not, I'm the oldest, right?
Okay.
But there's guys in their 30s. There's a couple people in their late 30s. Sometimes we even have people that are 45, 46 years old. But like for the most part, I'm the oldest guy. And then we also have guys, obviously, in their 20s and guys and gals. And one of the people that's training is a girl that is now, I think she just turned 17. And so super, super nice person. You know, it's fun to watch how people, you know, especially now I've been doing it for about a year. It's fun to see people probably how they saw me. When you first start, you struggle. And then each time you see them, there's serious improvement. And now it's like, wow, you're bumping great. You're doing this great. You're doing that great. So we had this drill one night where you had, I think there was like eight of us. So you had four people on one side, four people on the other side. And we all had to like face somebody. And so you had to basically do a certain move on that person. So like, okay, the first two people, all right, you got to give this person a knee in the stomach. And we'd all work right. on that. And all then, right. okay, next two. Well, I'm paired up, by the way that it's all paired up, I'm paired up with the 17-year-old girl.
All right.
Everything's fine because nothing's like, you know, and just keep in the back of your mind, her grandma comes and sits and watches, you know, to make sure she has a guardian there.
Okay.
So we're doing all this. And then they're like, okay, next thing we're going to be doing, chops. And I'm like, great. I have... You know the Ric Flair chop?
Yeah.
The knife edge chop, like
yeah.
right across the chest.
But I was going to say, it's always right across the chest.
Yes, Ted. It's right across the chest, Ted. Right across the Ted.
Right across the Teds.
Yes, right across the Teds. Both of them. So first person does it. Second person does it. Now it's my turn.
Oh, so she doesn't even get to chop you first.
No. So, well, the way he did it, he had all like the... Not advanced, but people who know how to do stuff. I hate to say advanced because I don't feel advanced. But like the guys that know how to do stuff on one row and the beginners on the other row. So they're not doing it to us. Everything we're doing, we're teaching them how to what it feels like, how it feels to take a knee, how it feels to take a punch, all this stuff. So now I'm having to chop this girl across the chest while her grandma is watching nervous because there's this big guy. So, and then it's like, it's a weird dilemma, Ted, because...
Right, do you raise your hand and be like, hey, man, I don't want to chop the 17-year-old girl?
No, because everyone's aware and everyone's finding this to be just hilarious.
Oh, everybody else gets it.
Oh, God, yes, Ted.
Do you think they set you up?
I don't know.
All right, just that.
Quite happens. Possibly. Damn trainer's a jerk anyway, that guy.
I don't have Steve West.
Yeah, exactly. So all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, well, I'm in this weird conundrum. I can't half-ass it. Because you have to teach someone how to take it.
Right, and you don't want to half-ass it, because then there's the chance that she's just going to be like, hit me for real.
Right, and I also don't want to, but I also don't want to deliver 100% full force.
Right.
Because I know it will hurt, you know, and yeah. I mean, and it's a 17-year-old girl, her grandma is watching, so I'm like, how do I find that happy medium? So I'm like, well, I'm just going to lay into her, I'm not going to go like as if like it's a match, like seriously, intensely hard, but I'm going to lay into her so it makes a sound. So I go across, right across, and it's like, oh. And bro, you see my handprint. It's like red, all because she's, you know, pale skin. I mean,
is the grandma staring at you?
Oh my gosh, dude. I'm just like, and she's taking it great. It's not like as if like,
right, she's not bitching.
No, she's
fine. But everybody else is like, oh.
So now the next one is an overhand chop. So now you got a coffin.
Oh my God.
I don't. Sorry. So now what do we do? You're again, we're going 80%, like hell with it. We're just going to hit her.
80% still. Go across. At this point, though, you see my hand already on her chest. Next one is a double, like, across chop.
And I'm guessing she's just wearing, like...
like a tank top.
Right.
Like a,
so, yeah. You can see the handprint.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Oh. And after the first one, though, she, like, looks over. She's like, Grandma, don't worry. It's okay. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't handle this, man.
Oh. I can't do this.
Do you, are you looking at Grandma after each one, or are you perfect, like, don't make eye contact with Grandma?
I don't want to look at anyone.
Oh, you don't want to look at Grandma.
So at one point, I'm like, oh, thanks a lot. Get the guy that's double her age. And then Steve, our trainer, looks at me and goes, hey, it's kind of close to triple, man. I'm like, you're right. And I hate you for that. Because I don't know, what's 17 times 3?
I don't know, I'm doing it right now. One, carry the two.
51?
Yeah, I mean, well, so it's not really three times. Yeah. So what's 17 times two would be 34. It's closer to, is it?
It's not on you.
It's like double and a half.
What did she say after practice?
Oh, she was fine. I saw her a few days later. And she's like, look, my chest is fine. My chest is fine. But like, she's posting pictures like she posted a picture of all the chop marks. I'm glad she didn't tag me because I would have been like, please don't tag me. We don't need, everyone's all laughing like local radio personality beating. Because then I just got to punch her. And granted, it's a wrestling punch, so you know how to hit somebody. But I can't half-ass that.
This because so weird. I mean, I'm sorry, man. Like at this point, I would have been like, Can we make a minimum age limit here? I don't know why it'd make me feel better if she was 18. I mean, you would still be you beating up on a teenager in wrestling terms. I'm trying to make this so like nobody takes one segment out of it, but I'm just like, dude, that is so awkward.
It was the hardest practice of my time as a wrestler. Like, honestly, doing flips, which is terrifying for me still to this time, and it's very difficult. I'd rather do those. Things that I've actually landed on my head and hurt myself, I would rather do that than ever have to chop somebody that's under the age of 18 ever again. A female.
Yeah.
If it was a dude, it'd still kind of be awkward, but I wouldn't mind as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I get we're all equal. But it's still, put yourself in that position.
And I feel like I'd be better off just, you know, giving her a bump and like just kind of.
Yo, yeah.
Right?
But I'd rather body slam her.
Yes.
100%. But I'm leaving handprints on her.
Yes.
It was very weird. But she's a sweetheart of a person. So is her grandma. And it wasn't like, you know, someone took the picture of her chest and like took a picture of Daniel Bryan's red chest and like made like a meme out of it. And I was like, thank God,
nobody tagged you.
No mention of me. I don't need this. I don't need this in my life.
I got to find her on the gram and start tagging you.
Oh, you better not.
Was this I'm Steve Miggs?
All right, when we get back, I don't know. I have a game we could play.
All right.
Are you in?
Yeah.
It's called Slap a 17-Year-Old.
God, I know. As soon as I said yeah, I was like, why did I agree? I should have asked what that game was.
All right, well, I'll be bringing in the 17-year-old girl, and we'll be playing Ted Slaps a 17-Year-Old when the Megacast returns.
Ted and Steve want to stop talking for a brief period of time. The Megacast will return.
It's the most uncomfortable time of the year. The temperature soaring, the sweat it is pouring down the crack in my rear. It's the most uncomfortable time of the year. My lawn, it is toasting, the old folks are roasting, don't leave them out in the heat. And it sure is not pretty when your crotch gets all sweaty and perfectly shrink wraps your meat. It's the most uncomfortable time of the year. Well, my
my yard, it needs wetting. That fat guy is sweating. What's he doing here? It's the most uncomfortable time of the year.
Ted and Steve just packed a bowl, and they are ready to go. The Megacast is back.
Oh yeah, Ted.
Oh yeah.
It's a dance party.
All right, Ted, I got a fun game for us to play. I don't know if you heard the news at the DEA.
Ooh. Oh,
I guess we're just jumping right into it.
All right. The DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency.
They just recently put out a list of slang terms for weed.
All right.
Have you heard that?
I did not read the list.
No, but I mean, have you heard that recently? It was like a story, I think, last week where it was like a big deal because they had all these crazy slang terms for weed and people were like, that's hilarious.
All right.
I can find the story while the music's playing.
No, no worries. I'm just like, all right, DEA. Like,
right. All right.
Good job. Good job, boys. We're on top of this weed thing.
Yeah. It's only 2018.
Yeah.
So I figured we'd play DEA marijuana slang or not.
So am I guessing if the DEA thinks it's a term?
If the DEA determined this as a term for a slang term for weed.
Okay.
Or if I just made it up.
All right. All right.
So once again, it's the best of seven.
All right.
You versus
the gods.
The gods of our games. The gods of our games, Ted. All right, Ted. Do you think green crack?
Oh, that's a real term.
Ted is already up 1-0 in this series, ladies and gentlemen.
Also, that's not a term. That's a strain.
Oh, okay.
I smoked green crack.
Well, that is recognized by the DEA as an actual slang term for marijuana.
And would they go to a dispensary and just write down the names of weeds?
Apparently so.
Of strains?
This kind of goes back to the last segment's conversation. Granny's panties.
I'm going to say false.
You're going to say that's false, huh,
yeah.
Ted? Well, Ted, you have a commanding 2-0 series lead in this game.
But even for a stoner like me, if somebody said, do you want to smoke granny's panties? I'd be like, whoa, bro. We've crossed the line.
All right, next one. Tickle bean. Do you think that is a slang term for marijuana or not, Ted?
Smoke some tickle bean. I mean, I'm not in the DEA, but I'm going to say false again.
Ted? You have a commanding 3-0 lead in this game.
Nice.
I think we found Ted's strength, and that is marijuana. Uh-oh. Song's about to end.
Yeah, I'm like, what's his name? Popeye. He eats spinach. I smoke weed at night. He's getting stronger.
Olive oil loves it when he smokes that ganj.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
She dabs because she likes oils.
Ted, do you think hippie bait is a slang term for marijuana, according to the DEA?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Ted is now up 3-1.
Oh, I lost one.
Oh, you took a loss right there.
Hippie bait sounds pretty good.
It does sound delicious.
You ever been hippie fishing?
What's hippie fishing?
Take a fish. Well, I don't know if you can do it at all festivals, but like at Burning Man, take a fishing pole and put a light-up toy on the end of it. And then you throw it in the street, and, like, naturally people bend over to pick it up, and you just kind of reel it in. And then when you get it, like, there's, like, 5 of us sitting there. And then, like, it worked great, except one person, we started reeling it in, and they just ducked down in the shadows. And we were like, hey, man, are you okay? And they're like, yeah, just leave me alone. We were like, oh, all right, time to stop the hippie fishing. We just ruined that guy's night.
This game is over.
But most people, you reel it in, and then they get over there, and they're like, ah, you got me.
Yeah, and then you guys talk.
Yeah.
One guy had a bad trip, thanks to you, D. Ted Smith.
Yeah, and he was crouched in a position for like 25 minutes.
No.
Hey, man, you okay? Just leave me alone.
Our bad.
Our bad, right?
We'll throw that one back into the sea.
Yeah.
All right, Ted. For the win, or will it be a 3-2 series lead for D. Ted Smith? Do you think red hair is a DEA slang term for marijuana, Or is it not?
That is. That's some good weed. Got them red hairs on it.
Ted, you have just won the series. Yes! 4-1. Ever since the Capitals won the Cup, you have been unstoppable.
I've been on fire.
Yep.
Bryce Harper won the home run derby. Steve, random question.
Yes.
This is very hypothetical.
Do we need to keep the music going?
Sure.
Okay.
Seattle gets a hockey team.
Yes.
They play the Devils in the Stanley Cup final.
I'm glad we're talking about this.
Because somebody the other day, I was wearing my Nats hat, and they were like, you know, the Mariners and the Nationals are the only two teams to never make it to the World Series.
Right.
Who would you cheer for? And it's like, I didn't grow up a Mariners fan, but also... the Nationals got there the year I left. So I've never seen the I've only seen the Nationals play in Seattle.
Whoa.
So I'm like, that's a tough one.
That is a great question.
Yeah.
I've debated this question since the rumors of a potential NHL franchise was coming here. And for the longest time, I was like, well, it's going to be Devil number one, Seattle hockey, not Focky.
Focky.
Focky. We love playing that Focky. Good thing we're not in Boston, otherwise we'd have to bleep that.
Yeah, right.
I was always like, Seattle's number one. I mean, New Jersey Devils will always be number one. Seattle will be my number two team. And then whenever the Devils play, it'll just be this weird thing. Either I just don't go to the game and I root at home, because I don't want to be that guy going to a home game wearing the opposing team's colors. I just don't want to be that guy. You know what I mean?
Like, you've seen me over the years. When the Seahawks play the Redskins, you're not going to catch me in a bar. You're not going to catch me anywhere. Because it's a no-win situation. Seahawks fans have been great to me. I have cheered loudly for the Seahawks. I grew up with the Redskins.
Yep.
So it's either alienate all the people I know now or alienate all the people I grew up with.
And that's the thing, man. I've watched the Devils win three cups. And again, this is easy for me to talk about now. Like, I mean, these decisions they're hard, but it won't be until that moment where we actually have the franchise and it actually matters in my own weird world to come up with who's my number one team. Yeah. So when all of a sudden the season ticket thing went, and now it's like, it's done. I mean, I say that. Of course, I could be wrong, but...
it's not official, but they're coming.
But they're already looking for a practice facility. They have an office set up in Queen Anne. They were able to get Tim Leiwicki to leave his job, which was he was next in line to become the NFL commissioner, which was just not a matter of if, it was a matter of when it was going to happen. So he left an incredibly lucrative job to take a job that's not 100% sure. My ass. Of course they're going to have an NHL franchise here. I truly believe that. So then when all that started hitting me, and I'm like, and they're already talking to me, like the Leiwickis. I've been talking with one of them. He's like, hey, man, we need to get you to come to the office. We have some ideas. We want to talk to you. So I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I'm going to be probably doing stuff with them in some way, shape, or form, probably through the radio station, not like going to be doing stuff there. You know what I mean? I'm already signed as their backup goalie, their practice goalie.
Nice.
When Bruckheimer and Leiwicki came in, they gave me the job. So I'm the third-string goalie already.
All right.
So it's like... how do I turn my back on my team now? I've been drafted. I'm the first draft pick of the Seattle franchise. I'm kidding. Of course. But I was like, gosh, man, we're going to probably become buddies with some of the players. We're going to have them on our show. For all I know, we're going to have guys coming on the podcast. I just don't know if I can. It's going to be hard to make them my number two team.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the Seahawks thing, right? Like becoming friends with Luke or when AJ Francis came out here, a Maryland guy.
Right.
At high school, but great college.
Yeah.
You meet those dudes and like I can't cheer against the Seahawks. You know, like I want to see them, like Luke's our buddy. I wanted to see him win.
I'm going to be cheering for the Detroit Lions now.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't.
I mean, it's a tough, like soccer was easy because I never really cared about soccer when I lived back east.
Right.
So when the Sounders came along, it was like, I don't mind. Like, I'll boo the hell out of DC United.
Of course. Well, Seattle's your home now.
Yeah. Right. But the hockey, that's a tougher one.
We're going to be going to games.
Yeah.
You know me and you are going to be rocking their
gear.
So, I mean, I hope that the dilemma of having to really pick between the two will take some time. But, man, I'm starting to think that I'm going to probably be a Seattle fan first and then a Devils fan forever. But they're going to become my number two team, which feels so weird to say. And I feel like a terrible fan saying that. And I feel like I'm abandoning the team that I've been a fan of since 1985.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
I'm with you. But I don't know. We're old, too. And like, I love sports. But like,
I was about to say this, and you're absolutely right.
You know what? Like, I've really softened up on this. Like, yeah, well, you live here. Like, of course you're going to be a fan of that team. And like, sorry. Like, we work in the entertainment business in Seattle. When Seattle teams play well, it's great for us.
Yes.
I mean, that's the only reason I brought up the Nationals things, is the Mariners look good. Mm-hmm. I think there's a chance they might make the playoffs. So trust me, you'll see your boy all at the Mariners games. And I, Steve, you've been to games with me. I have Mariners gear.
Yeah.
But if they made the World Series, they have a much better shot. But I'm like, I don't know, because I've never seen a Nats game in Nats Stadium. I'm like, well, go Mariners.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like you have their stuff just to rep your hometown.
That's why hockey was so easy this year with the Caps.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, I've been like a vacant... or vacant dormant volcano, yep. But now that they're winning, I'm back.
Yeah, but you've always had love for them. I mean,
yeah, we always talked about it. Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously ramped up the closer they've gotten.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would say the last 10 years, you've been
I think this year was the only time I was a defeatist in the beer garden. I was like, God, they're going to freaking choke like every year.
I mean, I think every text I was like, dude, how about them Caps? Like, they're going to choke.
Yeah, because generally at the Classic, I'd always be Caps guy and everybody else would be like chirping me like they're going to choke.
So, man, to answer that question, I think I'm pretty. But like you said, man, I've gotten to a point where sports are just that. It's entertainment. I'm not going to get mad at, like, I don't get mad at Richard Sherman anymore. Like, maybe when I was, like, in my 20s, I would have been pissed at Richard Sherman for saying the Seahawks lost their way or Earl Thomas complaining about wanting to be traded or get a new deal. I don't care anymore, man. I love the team. I'm on a high when they win. If they lose, I'm bummed for maybe an hour, and then I just move on with my life. And if that makes me a bad fan in the eyes of somebody, that means maybe you should get your priorities in check. Because I just don't think you should be living and dying by a franchise anymore. You just see so many players come and go.
And the problem is nowadays, it's just like, we understand it. It's a business.
Yep.
Right? And I love it when a player stays in the same spot or whatever, but also, like, we as we get older, we get it.
Yeah.
Right? We see the end of the line for us or for anybody, and you go, oh, it's a business, dude. Like, that's his chance. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you're going to go where either, like, you're Earl, you want to go somewhere where you want to play, mm-hmm. or you're Sherm, you want to go somewhere and make more money.
The only thing that bothered me about the Earl thing, and it's just a stupid thing, and that's just what I get bothered by is stupid things. He put up that tweet, and he's like, I've been an underdog my whole life. And I was like, you were a number one draft pick, went 14th overall. You played in Texas. Like, you were a god for there. You get drafted first overall. You're considered one of the greatest safeties that's played the game of our current generation. You've won a Super Bowl. You're considered one of the best Seahawks of all time. Where's the underdog in all of this?
Yeah.
I get it. Like, you kind of mentally tell yourself you're an underdog, so you always have a chip on your shoulder. But as a human being, I have a hard time looking at you as an underdog.
Well, that's the funny thing about the chip on the shoulder, because I was telling somebody this the other day. You know, there's stuff in life that gets you angry or worked up and stuff. And people always go, you shouldn't be angry about that. You shouldn't be angry about that. But that's often people that are above you, mm-hmm. right? Telling you that. They're already at a certain level going, you shouldn't be upset about that. And I told somebody, I go, look, it's not that you want to live a part of your life angry, but look at all these great athletes. They always have that chip on the shoulder, yep. or they never think they're enough. So it's like you don't want to walk around angry, but I do, like, I think it's okay to walk around with that chip on your shoulder.
Well, you look at a lot of those guys like Doug Baldwin or even Richard Sherman. Like, these are guys that still are motivated by the fact that they didn't get drafted high.
Yeah.
Or drafted at all.
Earl, right.
But Earl's was,
he's football, I don't know, what's
royalty.
The word? Royalty, thank you.
Yeah. At no point were you ever doubted to be great.
Yeah.
Maybe in Little League. And if that's what you got still on your chip as your shoulder, man. That's incredible.
Right.
So it's like, I get it, and you're 1,000% right. It's just, he's a weird example of that. I understand that he tells himself that probably to be motivated, but it's hard as somebody to look at him who's, and it's like, I don't know when the last time you were an underdog, girl. I really don't.
Yeah.
All right, we should probably get out of here. Yeah, I know, man. You got stuff to do. I got teenage people to slap.
To slap?
Whoa!
Oh. Oh,
that came in hot.
Late night tent's going off.
Ted, Steve, we're trying to sleep.
Oh, let's beat those guys.
Can you stop doing that Drake dance on top of the RV? The push-up remix. Coming to the meltdown.
All right, let's get that.
I got so pumped during the build up right there. on our eighth push-up, I hit my face on the carpet.
Attaboy, get low.
That's right. I'm feeling it. You can follow us on Twitter, at the Megacast. And in case you didn't know, today's episode brought to you by Smith Family Popcorn. Good people.
Great popcorn.